Good afternoon and welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grubner. With us as always is to talk all things livestock markets is University of Missouri Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
Good to see you since we didn't see you 2 weeks ago because of technical difficulties, and thanks to Shannon for filling in for me last week while my family and I hid in the UP of Michigan for some R&R and relaxation.
I will try to keep my camera on today as well for you.
That's much appreciated because it looks much better when there's both of us to look. Don't just have to see me. All right, as we get things going today, all kidding aside, let's recap what happened this week in the markets and really kind of an exciting start, at least to the cash hog side of things on Monday.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so you look across the board and some more strength happening. All good news, especially from a producer standpoint. On the cattle side this week, cash cattle $2.70 higher for the week. Those feeder cattle auctions, they're pretty much traded anywhere from $3 to $8 higher on the week. October live cattle futures contract was up $1.65, and the October feeder contract was up $1.55. When you look at the beef side, the choice box beef price actually lost $6.25 this week. That was really led by what was lower ribs and loins, dragging that choice box beef price lower. On hogs, cash barrel and gilt prices nearly $5 higher this week. So some good news there after it's been a tough time from a hog price standpoint. The October lean hog futures contract was up 25 cents on the week. We did gain on the pork cutout value up nearly $3.70. That was really led by what was some stronger belly prices on the week.
It's been interesting to watch how markets have kind of reacted, and we'll talk a little bit more about that whole global pork picture coming up. But last week, they found the first case of African swine fever in Germany. I know there was a big jump in the futures side of things on Thursday and Friday. We saw another big jump on Monday on the cash side of things, and then we've seen more cases. And it's so crazy to think about how one announcement like that can really push things higher or pull things back so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so trade is interesting there, right? So the fact that you basically get trade cut off with one single case in not the domestic production herd in Germany, it just tells you how sensitive we all are to trade restrictions. And the Germans have certainly seen that as they've dealt with this now what's a few cases in the wild herd.
And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more and we'll get into that a little bit more coming up in a little bit. Scott, let's take a look at slaughter numbers. We continue to see big slaughter runs daily on the hog side of things and on the cattle as well. How are things looking and where are we when it comes to that backlog of hogs, or best guess where we are since we don't have accurate numbers on that?
Yeah. So number one, it's nice to be back to a full week and get beyond Labor Day week to talk about what kind of slaughter. So 645,000 head of cattle slaughter estimated by USDA for this week. That's up substantially from the previous week, down a little bit from where we were a year ago at this time. On the hog side, a 2.587 million head run expected for this week. That actually puts us now 1.2% above where we were a year ago. So, 1.2% above year-to-date thus far. And it just reminds me to say that's a far cry from where we were in the worst of COVID-19. We are making up ground. If you look at weights, for example, weights have come down. I think we're a little driven by some of the Labor Day holiday, but we might have actually seen barrel and gilt weights fall below year ago levels here in the last weekly information. So we'll see if that continues. But I would say we're getting caught up, not caught up, but getting caught up. I wish we had a definitive answer to that question, Megan, sometimes. But certainly I think that also maybe has a little bit to do with some higher hog prices as well.
And there's definitely been some pretty significant slaughter runs and even negotiated purchases as we look at those details day in and day out.
Yeah, that's right. And again, it's I still remind us to think back to when it was the worst of the COVID-19 situation in those processing plants. You know, we talked about it taking months to recover. And in fact, you know, we've had some of the biggest hog runs this week. And you got to go back a long time, pre-COVID, to see those kinds of runs. So we're getting the runs there. I think we're still working on getting the added value pieces of that processing to continue to unfold.
Scott, is there pressure, though, to make sure that we get that backlog moved through as much as we can, knowing that coming into the final quarter of 2020, shackle space is going to be under pressure again, and that puts us in a very, very tight situation without that backlog of hogs already in battling that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we know in that last quarter, there's probably going to be some weeks where we're going to get behind again. And so we want to be as caught up as possible to handle those. And, you know, oh, by the way, we can't guarantee ourselves there wouldn't be another processing plant slowdown, shutdown, if we had another major COVID-19 outbreak. So there's risk there that makes us want to be as caught up as possible as well. So I don't want to suggest we've come out of the woods of this, but it's certainly a much better situation than we would have thought.
Quiet week for us report-wise. Consumer sentiment really is the only thing we have to talk about this week. And really a nice jump as we look at August.
Yeah, that's right, Megan. You know, we got a 6.5% increase from August to September in that consumer sentiment number. That's good news for us. Now, again, I want to remind us, September of 2019, we would have been over 15% higher. So we aren't back to where we were, but maybe some better domestic demand news than we've seen is what we're getting right now. That to me is important. But both the current economic condition portion of that index was higher, as well as the expectation side. So, you know, early on, we talked a lot about, is this a V recovery for the economy? I'm not ready to claim it's a V recovery, but I'm ready to claim that we're getting some climb out the other side. And that bodes well, I think, for red meat demand.
It may not be a sharp V. It might be more of a little the start of a different type of a V.
More like maybe a V like a first grader would draw. So every once in a while, it's got a little down part to the. But we're headed in the right direction overall. That's for sure.
We alluded to this earlier. We're going to talk a little bit about the global pork demand picture. As previously stated, some outbreaks and some findings of African swine fever in the wild boar population in Germany, opposed to the domestic herd in Germany. How significant of a difference is that to Germany's ability for their pork industry to recover and climb back from this?
Yeah, so it's important to draw some distinction here. So number one, what's happened in Germany? They've lost export markets. They've lost export markets, well, most export markets at least, because folks are concerned about ASF and the transmission, yet they've had no domestic production issues. We know that an ASF outbreak in the domestic herd is gonna reduce production. And if one could tell a story that a bad ASF in the domestic sector reduces production enough to offset the loss of export markets. But in a case where you just lost export markets, yet nothing's really happened in domestic production, that's a much tougher situation for producers in Germany. Yet the rest of us in the world that are producing pork, you know, get to benefit from that.
Do we watch? So we know that China has shut down their imports of German pork. South Korea and Japan, I believe, are the other two countries. Does that present some opportunity for U.S. To take advantage of that displaced demand? But does that still leave, my assumption is it still leaves a lot of pork on the global market that somebody has to do something with?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we'll talk about some shift around of where different exporters are able to land product. Does the United States maybe get more pork to head to China? I think the answer to that is probably yes under this scenario. I just look at the China pork imports by source for a minute. So year to date, so kind of pre, and that's January through July, Germany had shipped about 800 million pounds of pork into China. In comparison, we were a little over a billion pounds over that same period. So we're already a bigger a portion of that. So who gets that second half, 600 or 700 million pounds that maybe would have gone from Germany into China? I think we get part of that, but we've gone in the first 7 months from in 2019 doing 200 million pounds to over a billion. It's hard to keep growing, right? So infrastructure and so forth to keep moving that amount of pork, certainly something we'll have to pay attention to. I just think we're going to get some win out of that when it's all said and done.
Definitely plenty for us to talk about in weeks to come, especially as we look to, as quiet as it was this week, we have a busy, and we're going to have a busy Friday next week. A look ahead of what we're expecting to see from USDA.
Yeah, so it's a docket full of cold storage early in the week, hogs and pigs, livestock slaughter, cattle on feed. So both cattle and hogs have some big reports coming. You know, as we kind of close here, Megan, I just remind producers, hog producers in particular, there's a lot of risk left out there. We've had higher hog prices of late. What makes you decide to take some risk management or give that downside risk to somebody else to deal with? Don't think just because we've started moving higher that it's just going to keep going up and up. It may, but let's make sure that we provide ourselves some downside protection while we might have an opportunity, because it was just a few weeks ago that you and I probably looked into that crystal ball and felt like we didn't have any good news to give producers, and there might be some break-evens out there. And in fact, you look at some of those futures markets out early summer of 2021, some good things out there. So let's take advantage.
Definitely some opportunity to provide a little price protection for yourself as well.
And you shouldn't do 100%, right? So, sure. But figure out what works for you. I'm not claiming a market top by any stretch, but certainly better situation than we've had for a while.
And there's definitely more volatility. I mean, if we've learned anything from this year, is the markets are going to revolve around volatility, and be prepared for anything, right?
That's right.
All right, Scott, bring a snack next Friday, because we're going to have a long conversation, I think.
I'll be ready.
We will see you then. So for our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning, visit our website, brownfieldagnews.com. You can submit questions and comments there as well. And for all of the really great Brownfield podcasts, go to brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.